This is Elston Howard of the New York Yankees. In a few moments, I'll tell you about my greatest sports thrill.
This is Harry Wismer. What you're about to hear is a transcribed story of one of baseball's outstanding players and an event our special guest, Elston Howard, considers his greatest sports thrill. And Elston himself is here to tell us all about it. But first, here is Bill Reddick with a message of interest from your United States Air Force.
Young men, your first few years after college graduation can be very important years. You can be earning good pay, building toward a secure future. Yes, all these advantages can be yours if you qualify for officer training with the U.S. Air Force. As an Air Force officer, you will be recognized as a leader, a man of high mental, physical, and moral standards. And along with the important work you do for the Air Force in the great new age of space, you will enjoy excellent recreational facilities as well as liberal vacation periods and the opportunity for world travel. If you're a college graduate between 20 and a half and 27 and a half years old, in good physical condition, make arrangements now for an interview with your Air Force recruiting officer. He will give you complete details on the new officer training school program. This can be your first step toward a bright future with the greatest defense team in the world, the United States Air Force. And now, back to Harry Wismer.
In the reasonably short span of four seasons, Elston Howard, the first Negro to wear a New York Yankee uniform, has moved up to star ranking. Manager Casey Stengel considers him the best catcher in the American League, which means that Casey must regard him above Yogi Berra, a three-time winner of the Most Valuable Player Award in the league. Elston Howard is a Yankee untradeable. Said Stengel, "I can get any player in the league for him, and don't think I can't, but I'm not going to do it. Every time a fellow comes to me with a list of names he's willing to deal, he also has a list of Yankees he must have. And Elston Howard is at the top of the list. Well, he ain't going to go anywhere. He's worth more than any ball player in the league in a trade." Elston Howard can hit. He's the best hitter on the club, as indicated by his 314 batting average in 1958, highest among the Yankees. Howard can catch. He learned the lessons taught to him by the Yankees Hall of Famer Bill Dickey and learned them well. Behind the plate, Howard is a polished workman, playing up as close behind the hitters as anyone, taming the would-be base dealers with a throwing arm that's the best on the Yankees. Howard can also play the outfield, where he spent most of his time as a Yankee while waiting for Berra to slow up. It was in the outfield that he starred during the 1958 World Series, on the way to winning the Babe Ruth Award as the outstanding player of the series. Elston Howard is a better catcher than he is an outfielder, although it was his brilliant defensive play in left field in the World Series with the Milwaukee Braves in 1958 that helped turn the tide in favor of the Yankees. During most of the first four games, Elston was confined to the Yankee dugout. The Braves won three of them. Howard was given a shot at the difficult left field position after Norm Seaborn's faulty handling of the job had cost them the fourth game and left them only one game from elimination. The ensuing three-game sweep marked only the second time in World Series history that a team won after losing three of the first four in a seven-game set. It was engineered almost as much by Elston Howard's fielding and hitting as by the pitching of Bob Turley, who appeared in all three final games. In the sixth inning of the fifth game, Howard made a diving catch of Red Shane Dean's low liner and doubled Bill Bruton off first base to preserve Turley's 7-0 shutout. The series shifted to Milwaukee for the sixth game, and Howard remained in left field. In the second inning, with Milwaukee ahead 2-1 and the bases full, Howard caught a fly by Johnny Logan and fired a no-bounce throw to the plate to nail Andy Pafko trying to score after the catch. The Yankees won the game 4-3 in 10 innings when Howard singled and scored the winning run. Those were sparkling events in Elston Howard's career, but the high mark came in the eighth inning of the grand finale. With the score tied 2-2, Yogi Berra hit a two-out double off Lou Burdette. Howard then hit a sharp single through the middle to put the Yankees ahead 3-2. The Bombers kept going, and Bill Skowron's homer settled the final count at 6-2. Elston Howard isn't just one of those baseball mechanics, a man whose athletic skill is limited to the routines on the diamond. He was an all-around high school athlete in St. Louis, where he grew up as a member of the Cardinals' knothole gang. It was easy for young Elston to become interested in baseball. He lived only a few blocks from Sportsman's Park, now Busch Stadium. Elston Howard was scouted by the Yankees as intensely off the field as on it. The Yankees were determined that their first Negro player would be a man of pride and desire, a credit to his team and to his race. Elston's background was researched as completely as his athletic records. The Howard family was well regarded. Elston's father, Travis, is an educator and a descendant of George Washington Carver. He is now principal of a Negro high school in New Madrid, Missouri, 130 miles southeast of St. Louis. Ellie is the only child. The Yankees acquired Elston Howard in 1950, 2 years after he was out of high school, for $15,000 and sent him to Muskegon, Michigan of the Class A Central League in July. He played 54 games, all as an outfielder, and knocked in 42 runs on only 52 hits, a third of them being for extra bases. They were going to send Howard to San Francisco in 1951, but he went farther than that. He was drafted into the service and shipped to Japan, where he spent 14 months. Discharged in the winter of 1952, Elston Howard was assigned by the Yankees to Kansas City, then their farm club in the American Association. He had a good year, hitting .286 and knocking in 70 runs. It was in the latter part of the season that orders went out from the Yankees to begin making a catcher of Elston Howard. When Elston reported to the Yankee rookie school in St. Petersburg in February of 1954, Bill Dickey was assigned to teach him the art of catching, and he learned quickly. Still crude as a catcher, Howard was farmed out to Toronto of the International League. There he made it big. He hit .330 for the pennant-winning Maple Leafs and had 109 runs batted in. He belted 22 homers and led the league with 16 triples. Even more significant, he led the league's catchers in fielding. It was obvious that he was now ready for the Yankees. The following spring, Howard impressed in the Florida exhibition games, and he was formally inducted into the order of the Bronx Bombers. He became a helpful hand very quickly, although confined to pinch-hitting roles for the first 2 months. His pinch triple in the ninth beat the Red Sox one afternoon at Yankee Stadium. A few days later, he won another game with a pinch hit. When it happened a third time in the same homestand, the appreciative Yankee players formed a guard of honor for him as he entered the clubhouse. They stood in two lines and laid out a path of towels leading from the dressing room door to his locker as a red carpet. It was the players' way of showing Elston Howard they were happy to have him on the New York Yankees. Now, before you meet our special guest, Elston Howard in person, in an interview from Yankee Stadium, and hear about his greatest sports thrill, here is a message of interest to all young men with an eye on the future.
The search for a bright, promising career leads many of America's finest young men to the U.S. Air Force. As officers in this great, forward-looking service, they are given unlimited opportunity for advancement. They are trained to be leaders in the age of space. Can you qualify for officer training? If you are a U.S. citizen, a college graduate between 20 and a half and 27 and a half years old, married or single, and if you possess good health and good moral character, you may be eligible to become an Air Force officer, an important member of the greatest defense team in the world. This would include the opportunity for exciting foreign travel, further education, and wonderful sporting and recreational activities which are provided on Air Force bases. Make arrangements now for an interview with a recruiting officer. Learn how you may become a technical or flying officer in the U.S. Air Force, the man with a bright future in the new age of space. Now back to Harry Wismer.
Elston Howard, what was your greatest sports thrill?
Harry, I have to say my greatest sports thrill was in 1955. I think my first appearance, 1955 World Series, where I hit a... At least my first pitch, I hit a home run against Don Newcomb of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And we went on to win the World Series, and I think that because I say it was my greatest thrill, because my first time up, I was real nervous, and when I hit the home run, it was just like any other ball game.
If you had a choice, would you rather play the outfield or catch?
Well, Harry, if I have a choice, I'd rather be catch because since I've been in the major leagues, I've been playing outfield and also I've been catching. Anything that I can do is to help the ball club, that's what I'm willing to do. But if I had to pick one, I prefer catching.
Who would you say has been most helpful to you in your development as a major leaguer?
Harry, I have to say that Bill Dickey, because when I was down in spring training, I went down to Casey Stengel's school, and Bill Dickey took me on the side, and he worked hard with me every day, showing me all the points and all the tricks of catching. And I think that at the present time, he still, when he's in the stand, if he come down during the game or before the game, he look at me and he'd be telling me all the mistakes that I'm making, and I have to give all the credit to him because he really helpful me since I've been in the big leagues.
Ellie, when playing left field at the Yankee Stadium, do the shadows bother a fielder as much as they say it does?
Well, Harry, I think I have played left field in Yankee Stadium, but I never have had trouble with the sun, which is, I think, it's one of the roughest fields in any major league ballpark because later in the year, the shadows fall behind the stand, and as the sun forms in the lower part of the stand, I mean, it really is a reflection on any left fielder because the sun is direct in the left fielder's eyes. And I never have, as I said before, lost a ball in the sun. But if you recall, Steven and Wes Covington had a little trouble in outfield during the World Series. Then the following day, I went to the outfield, and where I had a pretty good day, I didn't fortunate enough to make a catch against Red Chaney's, which a lot of people say was a turning tide of the World Series. And as I said before, I think that any ball player that has played left field in Yankee Stadium, they'll say that it's the toughest outfield in the league.
Ellie, do you go along with the thinking that a batter should just try and hit the ball where it is pitched?
Well, Harry, that's a case that helped me over the past year where I hit .314 in 1958. I led the Yankee ball club in hitting where the years before, 1954 and 55, well, I was pulling the ball, but I hit .290 and I hit .271. Well, I would say that hitting the ball where it's pitched is very important because, for instance, if a fella keep the ball away from you and you try to pull a ball, majority of the times you're going to hit the ball right back to the pitcher. But during the times I have been hitting the ball where it's pitched, for instance, I had a wonderful year. I hit the ball at right field, right center. Then when the ball come inside, I pull a pitch. So I think that it really have helped me, and thanks to Casey Stengel, because he was the one who always was preaching about hit the ball where the ball is pitched, and that's what I did, and it really helped me tremendously.
Do you recall your first appearance at the plate in a Yankee uniform?
Well, my first appearance at the plate in a Yankee uniform was in 1955, right here in Yankee Stadium, when I faced one of the top pitchers in the major leagues at the time, was Mike Garcia. My first time up, I think that I came in for a pinch hitter for Tom Sturtevant, who was pitching the ball game. He came out, and my first time up, I hit a line drive down the left field line, which was fouled, and three pitches later, he walked me. And naturally, I was a little nervous because of my first appearance in the big leagues. And later on, I went up to Boston, and I played in a ball game. And fortunate enough, I got 5 for 5. That was my first big break in the big leagues.
Ellie, what is the most unusual play you've ever been involved in?
Well, Harry, I think the most unusual play that I've been involved in was unassisted double play, which we were playing the Baltimore Orioles, and Tom Sturtevant was the pitcher, and I was the catcher. And I think the hitter was Gus Triandos with runners on third and first. And Gus hit the ball back to Tom, and the runner was Billy Claus. He started breaking towards the plate, and I hollered at Tom. I said, "Tom." And he threw the ball at me, and I runs the fella Claus back down to third base. We get him in the chase. By this time, I tagged Claus out, and the other runner was right at third base. And as he slid in, I tagged him out. So that was an unassisted double play. I think that was my most unusual.
Thank you very much, Elston Howard of the New York Yankees, one of baseball's outstanding players.
Greatest Sports Thrills with Top Personalities in the World of Sports is narrated by Harry Wismer, directed by Gene Kirby, written by Arthur Suskin Jr., and presented by the United States Air Force in cooperation with this station. This is Bill Reddick speaking. The preceding was transcribed.